The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Money Magazine for September 2018. And today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. So we'll start off with a little bit here from their live section, which is, these are the 10 best burger joints in America. Yelp reviewers take on America's favorite food by Alana Akhtar. Americans love hamburgers, and thousands of restaurants offer their own take on what in essence amounts to a grilled beef patty served between two buns. But some folks have mastered the art in ways the rest haven't, winning awards or becoming local legends for their juicy burger meat or their sauce and condiment combinations. Money partnered with Yelp to find the best-loved burger joints in the country. Their menu offerings range from sloppy barbecue burgers to fried bologna burgers to diner-style standards. There's even a burger with peanut butter and jelly in the middle. The Yelp algorithm factors in both the number of positive reviews and an eatery's star rating. Price was not a factor, but with the costliest of these delicacies topping out at $13.50 and many costing under $10, you won't have to fret the check. To ensure that we had winning burgers from around the country, we limited the picks to one per state. Here are Yelp reviewers' top 10. So here we've got a list from 1 to 10 with the location, the name of the place, and then what their specialty is. The 10 best places to get a burger. 1. Manny's Restaurant in Victorville, California. Their specialty is the peanut butter jelly and creamy burger for $9.25. 2. is Dino's Gourmet on the Go in Kahului, Hawaii. Big Hawaiian Big Blue Cheeseburger for $13. 3. Bro's Sandwich Shack in Avon, North Carolina. The Carolina Bro for $11.25. 4. Papa's Burgers in San Antonio. The Chili Burger at $7.50. 5. PDX Sliders in Portland, Oregon. The Burnside Burger for $9.50. 6. Fox Smokehouse Barbecue in Boulder City, Nevada. The Smokehouse Burger for $12. 7. Zorba's Heroes Burgers and More in Lafayette, Louisiana. The Greek Burger for $8.99. 8. Hate Mondays Tavern in Miami. Mondays Remedy for $13.50. 9. Around the Corner in Henrico, Virginia. The Single Quarter Pound Burger for $3.80. And 10. Lucky's Burgers and Shakes in Phoenix. Half-pound charboiled hamburger for $3.79. Now, from Money Magazine's Retire section, here is an article. This is how to find the perfect part-time retirement job. Fend off boredom and pick up extra cash. This is by Sarah Max. When Leslie Cogswell stopped by Metolius Artisan Tea late last year, she was looking only to buy her favorite tea in bulk. But after the retired radiologic technologist met the owners, who were hard at work blending tea and making chai in their Bend, Oregon headquarters, she wanted to come right back. "I thought about it and emailed them to see if I could volunteer," says Cogswell, who quickly earned the nickname Chai Ninja. "About a month in, they insisted on paying me." Cogswell, 62, is part of a growing legion of retirees who are taking part-time positions to pursue their passions, make connections, and, of course, supplement their incomes. In the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies' most recent annual retirement survey, 56% of respondents said they plan to keep working after retirement. The traditional idea of retirement is becoming obsolete for a lot of reasons, says Rick Edelman, executive chairman and founder of Edelman Financial Services. For one thing, he notes, Americans are living longer and in many cases are healthier. People in their 70s are healthier today than people in their 50s used to be, which means they're physically able to work, he says. Many people count down the days to retirement only to miss the intellectual challenges and social perks of the workplace. There's also something to be said for a regular paycheck. Among workers who plan to keep a job in retirement, 83% said financial reasons were a motivating factor. The good news is that you don't have to go back to a 40-hour work week, Edelman says. For many, an extra $1,000 a month can make a big improvement in their lifestyle. And with unemployment rates hovering near all-time lows, many retirees are in a good position to negotiate for work that's interesting but not all-consuming. There are employers who would be happy to hire retirees and let them work on a flexible schedule, he adds. Cast a wide net. You don't need to return to the same field you just walked away from. To land the ideal retirement gig, pinpoint exactly what you want to get out of a job and what you can offer an employer. Is your top priority to fuel your passion, learn something new, meet different people, or simply earn a paycheck? If income is your primary goal, your previous employer might indeed be your first stop. Make a pitch to your former bosses or colleagues with specifics on when you can work, how you can make their lives easier, and what you can and cannot do as a part-timer. But you have other options, too. The gig economy opens lots of doors for flexible work. Sites such as patinasolutions.com and youroncore.com connect seasoned professionals with organizations needing their expertise. And if walking dogs or running errands is more your pace, check out rover.com or taskrabbit.com. Let your interests be your guide. In your working years, your top priorities may have been salary and career track. In retirement, try setting your sights on what you love. If you're an avid golfer, look into working at a golf course, Edelman says. If you like to garden, apply for a job at a garden center. You'll not only earn a paycheck doing something that interests you, but you might also be privy to valuable employee discounts and other benefits. You may even find that your existing volunteer work opens doors to part-time paid positions. Before she retired from a 35-year career with the federal government, Mary Ann Kettles volunteered at George Washington's Mount Vernon in Virginia. "I'm a history buff, and it's near my home," she says. After she left her government post, Kettles, now 65, took a three-month break, but then stepped into a position with Mount Vernon's guest services team. "I've learned so much about the people of that era and the history of our democracy," she says. "Plus, this is a beautiful place to work." Watch out for a Social Security bite. If you've already started taking Social Security, there's one extra wrinkle to be aware of. If you're under full retirement age, which is 67 for those born after 1959, you will wind up giving up $1 in Social Security benefits for every $2 you earn above the annual limit of $17,040 for 2018. It's largely a short-term reduction, more on that in a minute, but if you're not prepared for it, your budget could suffer. Someone making $27,000 a year, for instance, would see roughly $5,000 less, half of that $10,000 overage, in Social Security payments than if they weren't working. The math changes slightly during the year you reach full retirement age. You'll give up $1 in benefits for every $3 you earn above $45,360 until you reach full retirement. Note that once you reach full retirement age, Social Security will recalculate your benefit amount. That change will, over time, give you back the benefits you didn't receive because of your earnings. Of course, for many working retirees, the paycheck is just one of many reasons to clock in. Back in Oregon, Cogswell says one of the greatest perks is working side by side with colleagues ranging in age, interests, and backgrounds. "It's fun to engage in a world that's different from the circles of people in my retired life," she says. Meanwhile, she adds, the work itself is immensely satisfying. When I'm done making chai, I can put it on the shelf and say, look what I did today. Three great perks volunteers should look for. There are myriad reasons to volunteer in retirement, chief among them giving back to your community or helping a cause you support. But many groups also offer gigs with sweet benefits, from intellectual stimulation to insider access, freebies, and other perks. VIP access. Film and music festivals, sports events, and other big productions tend to rely on volunteers. Even your favorite charity may have a gala or a fundraiser you could help with. In exchange, you'll often be privy to all kinds of perks, such as discounted and free tickets, complimentary meals, and swag. Better yet, volunteers often get to see these events unfold from a unique angle and rub elbows with the participating talent. Volunteers with the United States Olympic Committee, for example, can lend a hand at Olympic qualifying events in locations around the country. There's even the potential to help out at the Olympic Games. The Sundance Film Festival relies on 2,500 volunteers to help put on its annual flagship event. Those folks see world premieres of top indie films, often alongside the cast and crew. Likewise, volunteers at the Los Angeles Times' Festival of Books receive complimentary lunch and cool T-shirts, and in many cases, VIP access to authors. The best strategy for finding such a gig? Search your favorite event and the word volunteer. Odds are you'll turn up an application page. Unique travel. Volunteering abroad is a far cry from seeing the world by rental car or cruise ship. For some retirees, that's exactly the point. The United Nations typically calls on about 2,000 volunteers a year for specialized roles around the world through its global talent pool. The work is unpaid, but volunteers get allowances to cover travel, living expenses, and other benefits. While Habitat for Humanity's short-stay global village trips expect volunteers to shoulder their own costs, the group may cover some expenses for long-term international volunteers, an opportunity that's well-suited to retirees with time to give. The same is true for nonprofits focused on health care, farming, environmental rehabilitation, and more. For many of these programs, you'll have to pay for your travel to and from an assignment, but the groups often connect you with affordable local accommodations and may even provide some housing or other allowances. What you pay out of pocket may also be tax deductible in the case of qualified nonprofits. Health improvements. There's one more perk to expect, but in this case it may not matter which gig you pick. Volunteering appears to be good for both physical and mental health, according to a study published last fall by United Healthcare and Volunteer Match, a website that connects volunteers with groups seeking extra help. Three-quarters of the U.S. adults surveyed said volunteering made them feel physically healthier, and nearly everyone said volunteering improved their mood. Other commonly reported benefits included a boost to self-esteem, 88% of respondents, and lower stress levels, 79%. To find a volunteer project that's right for you, start with the causes you care about or items that interest you, and go from there. If you need some inspiration, Volunteer Match makes it easy to search more than 100,000 volunteer opportunities across 29 different categories. You can filter by location, cause, generation, e.g. 55+, and keyword. And now, again from Money, the Money magazine, the retirement section. This is, how much money should I spend in retirement? A surprising number of retirees are making a big mistake when it comes to retirement income. Use these steps to get it right, by Sarah Max. Saving money can be difficult, but spending it, that part was supposed to be easy for retirees who have spent decades building up nest eggs for their golden years. Yet for many retirees, the transition from saving assets to living off them responsibly can be fraught with uncertainty, and is proving surprisingly difficult to navigate. So much so, in fact, that a full 68% of retirees have not taken money out of their savings beyond what they have to withdraw as part of their required minimum distributions from 401ks and individual retirement accounts. This finding, based on new research from Ameriprise Financial, runs counter to conventional wisdom, which says that many retirees, especially those who don't properly plan, are apt to spend too freely and will run out of money too soon. This reluctance to tap into retirement savings doesn't necessarily stem from a fear of running out of money, though that is a legitimate concern for many. In fact, 71% of retirees surveyed by Ameriprise Financial said they think their money will last their lifetime. The study surveyed 1,000 retirees who had at least $100,000 in investable assets when they retired. Median asset size was $839,000. While the group ranged in age from 40 to 79, more than half of respondents were 70 or older, and another 38% were ages 60 to 69. The bigger hang-up, it seems, is the complexity of how to draw down assets, notes Marcy Keckler, Vice President of Financial Advice Strategy at Ameriprise Financial. Just 21% of the survey's respondents said they feel confident in that regard. Respondents cited concerns about determining the appropriate portfolio risk, tax ramifications, and the right way to establish a retirement income plan. No doubt it's better to err on the side of being conservative when it comes to tapping your funds, especially given all the uncertainties surrounding your lifespan, future health care expenses, inflation, and investment returns. Still, you have to strike a balance, because being excessively and unnecessarily frugal can rob you of a satisfying life in retirement, just as much as running out of money will. The best advice for tapping your savings isn't all that different from building them. Create a budget, follow a financial plan, and do regular progress checks, but not to the point of obsession. Step number one, update your budget. Odds are you relied on ballpark estimates to determine how much you needed to save for retirement, and you may be tempted to defer again at this stage of the game to rules of thumb. Don't. Not only is your budget one of the key aspects of retirement finances that you can control, but it can also help you keep spending in check while prioritizing the things that give you the most joy. Step number two, organize your income and expenses into buckets. Traditionally, retirees have attempted to calculate a safe rate of withdrawals from their 401ks and IRAs based on their estimated life expectancies, anticipated portfolio gains, and their total aggregate assets across all accounts. Increasingly, experts recommend a slightly more nuanced approach, matching income sources with spending needs. For example, instead of thinking of your nest egg as one big pool of money, try breaking it into three buckets, one for basic living expenses, one for lifestyle spending, and one for long-term health care costs. While the specifics of this strategy depend on your expenses, income, and assets, many retirees aim to cover their fixed expenses with predictable income, such as from a pension and Social Security. They then pay for their lifestyle expenses, dinners out, travel, etc., with their required minimum distributions, and that leaves the rest of their savings as a backstop against rising health care costs or other unpredictable expenses. Step number three, keep paying yourself first. Ironically, many retirees ease some of the angst about overspending by continuing to save, albeit in short-term cash accounts. Financial advisors have long recommended that retirees keep plenty of cash in the bank. 12 to 18 months' worth of living expenses is ideal to help cover unexpected costs and weather market volatility. And if you can regularly set aside a little above and beyond that, even better. The benefits go beyond the psychological. First, you get reassurance that you're living within your means. A savings habit is also a great way to set aside money for big-ticket lifestyle expenses and to stress test your budget against rising costs down the road. Step number four, consider professional advice. true, investment management fees can chip away at your savings over time, but a good financial planner, search at NAPFA.org, that's NAPFA.org, to find a fiduciary advisor, can more than earn her keep if she helps you see the big picture. That now means mapping out a sustainable withdrawal strategy that offers you peace of mind, minimizes transaction costs, and optimizes taxes. After all, these factors likely weighed heavily on your ability to build a nest egg. They are just as important now that it's time to carefully crack it open. Now, also from money, is a costly Medicare mistake to avoid. This common assumption can hurt your wallet and your health. This is by Elizabeth O'Brien. Medicare is complicated, so it's no surprise that nearly 75% of adults over age 50 say they wish they understood the coverage better, according to a recent survey by the Nationwide Retirement Institute. What you don't know can cost you. Dig deeper into the results, and it's revealed that 53% of older adults don't know there's a cost associated with Medicare Part B. In fact, beneficiaries pay a monthly premium for Part B, which covers outpatient services like doctor's visits. Anybody prepping for retirement should also understand that Medicare will not cover your long-term care costs. The government-administered program covers nursing home care only for rehabilitation and other limited circumstances. It doesn't pay for the kind of long-term care that most elderly Americans need, which is help with activities of daily living like bathing, dressing, and eating. That said, for people who have spent down their money and meet strict asset and income criteria that vary by state, Medicaid will cover long-term care costs. Some 42% of affluent older adults with children say they'd give away all their money to their kids so they can go on Medicaid, according to the nationwide survey. There are a couple of problems with this strategy. For starters, Medicaid has a 5-year look-back period in which the government can scrutinize all your financial transactions for 60 months leading up to your Medicaid application, and certain transactions can jeopardize your eligibility. Generally, the government will be paying particular attention to gifts made to anyone other than your spouse, including outright gifts, and also to sales of items for less than fair market value. Second, you don't have the final say over your care when you go on Medicaid, and most retirees report a desire to maintain control over their circumstances. Giving away your assets is the last thing you'd want, says John L. Carter, president of Nationwide Retirement Plans. Bottom line, understanding Medicare costs can help you devise a more realistic retirement budget. Learn more about Medicare and its nuances through the government's official handbook, available online at medicare.gov. And now we'll go to the back page on Money, Money Magazine. This is Candid Conversations with People We Love, The Money Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson. The world's most famous astrophysicist and best-selling author has always saved for his goals, by Kara Kutrazula. Money. What's the first big item you saved for? Neil deGrasse Tyson. I've known since age 9 of my interest in the universe. On my 12th birthday, my parents bought me an entry-level telescope for $50, but I would rapidly outgrow it, so I had my own source of income. I lived in a big old apartment building in the Bronx, and I walked people's dogs and earned 50 cents per dog per walk. And these dogs were walked 2 or 3 times a day. This was the glory days of dog walking, before there were pooper scooper laws. By the time I was 14, I was able to buy my next telescope for $200, a camera for $150, and darkroom materials, because I also developed my own film. Most kids in high school would want to buy a pair of Nikes or something. No, I was completely committed. Money. What was your money situation like growing up? We were extremely frugal middle class. There was a very strong sense of every dollar you spend needs to matter. What's your favorite thing to purchase as an adult? I happen to like fountain pens, not in a crazy way, but in an enthusiastic way. Most have a cosmic theme, but these pens can be very expensive. So in 1995, I began writing a column called Universe for Natural History magazine and used the money I earned writing these essays to buy antiquarian books that capture the way we were thinking about the universe 50, 100, 200 years ago. They helped give a depth of historical richness to my cosmic storytelling. When I had enough columns to publish a book, I used that same money to buy a new fountain pen to sign the book contract with. All this money was trapped in this loop. I didn't pay rent off it. I didn't buy the next car off of it. I didn't buy food with it. It was a writing, reading, and fountain pen signature trinity. I've written 14 books, and I've bought a new pen for about 10 of those books. That's my adult savings plan, if you will. It's a savings plan with constraints. You have your podcast, books, and day job as the director of New York City's Hayden Planetarium. How do you master so many gigs? I think multitasking promotes some consistency of mission statement in one's life. Not that we need to live consistent lives, but if you don't, you need really good management skills about what you're doing, where the money's going, and how you're allocating your time. You've said before that work-life balance is a myth. How so? My life is completely out of balance, and that forces innovations of time management and solution finding. I don't want to downplay people who have everything under control, but I can tell you this. I look forward to what the next day may bring because I have no idea what will land in it. Now, since we've just got about a minute left, I'm going to end as I like to do by slipping in a little poem by a North Carolina poet. This is Robert Morgan, who taught at Cornell for many years, but he's born in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And this poem is also from The Language They Speak is Things to Eat, UNC Press, 1994. And the poem is Lightning Bug. Carrot of the first radiance, you navigate like a creature of the deep. I wish I could read your Morse across the night yard. Your body is a piece of star, but your head is obscure. What small photography! What instrument panel is on? You are winnowed through the hanging gardens of night. Your noctilucent syllables sing in the millennium of the southern night with star-talking dew, like the thinker sending noose into the outer stillness from the edge of the orchard country. And that's about as much as we're going to be able to get in today, in today's episode of Modern Maturity, but I do hope that you'll join me again next week and that you've enjoyed today. I'm Florence Nash, and I'm reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, which is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you've got any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138.